All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Remember me? It's great to be with you today. As most of you know, I was recently in Uganda with a small team of people from this church and also with a couple from the United States as well. We have a ministry in this church called Lift Evangelistic Ministries that was started about 9 years ago when God opened the door for me to preach in a gospel festival in Uganda. And certainly over the last 9 years, we've been on this incredible journey of faith and growth, and we see God enlarging us. I got to be honest with you, every time that we go, I just see that God's hand is of favor and grace is increasing upon us. New countries are opening, crowds are growing, and our impact is increasing. Lift is one of the ministry partners of this church as well with our Global Impact Ministry. It's been supported this year by that ministry. And of course, many people from this church have traveled with me over the years to Uganda and have come back changed, no doubt about it. And this year was no different. We had the team that was participating by preaching in schools. They had some large assemblies of thousands of kids, literally, where the gospel was being preached. They ministered in a prison that I think had 1,500 inmates in it and saw God do some amazing things. And then, of course, in the evening, that team would join in at the crusade grounds, ministering to those who were sick and oppressed of the devil, and saw God do some amazing things. And so just before I share what I have to share with you this morning, I just want to show you a little 3-minute video clip. This video is from the view of the local pastors and leaders of what the gospel festival meant to them and to their city. And then I'm going to have Justin Hay and Jeff Campbell come up, and I'm just going to interview them real quickly about what God did in their lives and some of the things that they experienced ministering on the crusade grounds, and then I'll preach the message that I have for you this morning, and then we're going to open up the altars for a time of ministry, and God's going to do some amazing things. Sounds like a good morning? All right, let's see that video.
We want to appreciate, one, Lift Evangelistic Ministry, but also Gaba Community Church, and in particular, Evangelist Joel Wells, and definitely Reverend Peter Kasirivu, for having Masindi in heart. We wouldn't have asked for anything better. We can't hide the fact that this has been one of its own. We have never had any joint crusade like this before. Joint, I mean, pastors of different ministries coming together to work together towards having a crusade. We have never had any of this kind before. This is the first of its kind.
We have never had such a crowd, in as it has been told and known very well that those grounds, the Buma grounds, were like spiritual things, devils, demons, warts, like nothing so productive would be on the grounds. For example, we have had crusades on the same ground, but we have not had people gathering on the grounds like that. On this mission, we have seen very many people give their lives to Jesus Christ. When Pastor Joel preached the gospel, we have never seen people running to come to receive Jesus Christ like the crowds that came this time around. All of us are still amazed at what is happening at the grounds. And I believe this one is going to change Masindi, since the yoke is broken, beginning from we, the spiritual leaders. I believe the spirit is going to flow and yokes and chains are going to continue being broken.
This is the first time I've had a team coming from outside Masindi coming to work with us, which has been very transparent, very open. What they say is what they say. If they say you arrange this in this particular way, that's exactly what they have done. With Lift Evangelistic Ministries, it has been very different, and we have learned a lot, which we must emulate ourselves even here in Masindi.
About the church leaders, now that we had the leaders' conference, where people are taught about leadership. Very many people have been in leadership, but they didn't know how leadership goes or the structures in their churches. And I want to thank God so much because this time, the conference that we had for the leaders were for top leaders only. And I know that when they go back to their people, very many things are going to change because there are so many things that people have been doing in darkness. And you know, once the leader is not transformed, the congregation cannot be transformed.
Our community has accepted Jesus as its Lord and Savior. Our young people, old people, are going to change in character. They're going to change in behavior. They're going to change in many, many things. So working with Lift Up Ministries and blessing Lift Up Ministries, I think Lift Up Ministries has blessed us.
All right. Well, one of the things that what happens each night at the Crusade Grounds is I preach the gospel. We invite people to come forward, receive Jesus. We lead them in a prayer of salvation. We get their information so that we can follow up with them afterwards. And I want to tell you, even this Thursday, they had a packed out church where all the people that had filled out the decision cards were invited to come for a breakfast. They taught them all morning. Next Saturday, there'll be a giant baptismal service for all those who gave their lives to Jesus. I looked at this church filled. I preached in that church, and it was filled with these people. I said, man, there's a whole other church that is there, and it's only a fraction of those who came to Jesus. But after we get their information, then we invite those that are sick in their bodies to push in and to come forward. And it just becomes this sort of sea of humanity right at the front of the stage. And I invite our team to go down and to minister. So I'm praying for the sick from the stage. And then as many of our team and ushers and pastors begin to just move through the crowd. And it's awesome as you see the power of God just hitting people all over the place. And we pray for those that are oppressed by the devil. And quite honestly, it gets crazy. It really gets crazy. We gave you a little tame version on little clips on the screen, but it gets nuts. And I sometimes just laugh at what I see from the stage. And I laugh at these guys. I laugh at Jeff. You know, in Regina, Jeff has his billboards. You've probably seen them all over town. Free home evaluations, Jeff Campbell. He's one, I always call him one of Regina's top realtors. And I said to him, if your people saw you, what you're doing when you're in Uganda, I'm not sure what they would think. But there's Jeff running around casting out devils and just seeing God do amazing things. And Justin was right there in the middle of it. And so I just want you to tell us a little bit, Jeff, when you're in that sea of humanity, what are some of the things that God has done in your life? What did you see? Maybe do you have a story that you would want to share with us?
Well, I think it all starts with our pre-prayer that we're going, that we're anticipating that God's going to do great things when we're there. And I think the number one thing is when we actually arrive there, it's, you know, praying that, you know, we just humble ourselves. We're here to be God's servant. And whatever you want us to do, I'll do it. And just be prepared to go and do what he's asking to do. So you're praying for the salvation, and then you're praying for the healing, and we walk into the crowd, and you just don't know what God wants you to do or what's going to happen. This time was different than the first time we went. We walk into the crowd, and you just touch somebody, and you just pray, Holy Spirit, just come and fill them. And they start to shake uncontrollably. And then you say, come out now in the name of Jesus. And they're down on the ground, and they're demonic, and they've been set free. And that's the ultimate healing, even more than watching people's arms, legs, eyes be healed, seeing them be set free.
All right. Justin, this was your first go, and every night you kept me up late, pestering me with questions and analysis of what was taking place. But what did God do in your heart? Maybe share an experience that you had.
Sure. By the way, we called him Demon Slayer. It was, I kind of followed him around one night, and it's like the people that were catching and carrying people away just knew, just follow this guy. Wherever he goes, there's somebody going to start manifesting. It was awesome. But yeah, my experience, I would say my first introduction to the whole demonic stuff, this woman just comes barreling in. Like, she hits the ground and just, I've never seen somebody roll that fast in my life. And then she just bumps into my leg, and I'm like, I guess I'm involved now. So I, you know, not knowing a clue what I'm doing, you just start praying for her and just trust that God's going to show you what to do. But as far as a cool testimony, and I shared this one with Joel, you know, when you start praying for people and people start saying they're getting healed, it's almost like a lineup starts building up, and it's, you could just pray for one person after another, like, it just doesn't end. And this guy comes up to me, and he's like, I can't see out of my left eye. And I was kind of like, well, let's just do a quick test because I want to see how bad it is. And I had him cover his good eye, and he looked through, and he couldn't read any of my... I said, how many fingers am I holding up? He couldn't read any of it. Couldn't tell how many fingers or anything like that. So I said, okay, well, let's pray for you. I prayed a few times, wasn't really seeing any change. And then I just had this thought. I was like, you know, I asked him, I said, did you or your family deal with witchcraft? Like, is there any witchcraft happening in your home? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I said, well, let's just pray and renounce that right now. So I led him in a prayer to renounce that. I prayed a few more times, and it seemed like things were getting better. And then I said, okay, now how many fingers? And he kept getting it right. And I said, okay, I remembered what Joel did. I said, so I grabbed my phone, and you can put on your phone keypad. And I said, can you touch the number 7? He touches the number 7. I said, can you touch the number 5? Touches number 5. And it just went on like that. So as far as I could tell, that guy could see. And I did tell him to go to the front, but I don't think he made it. Because we have the testimonies, people coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. Stage fright.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd want to just share this morning about what God did in your own heart? Or I'll say this about Jeff. On the Saturday, most of our team got quite sick this time. And except for Justin and I, we...
Justin, I love the food.
Justin loved the food. He ate everything. I basically fasted the whole time I was there so that I wouldn't get sick. But Jeff spent Saturday. He never moved from his bed. And I went in there a couple times. I'm like, are you okay? And like he barely would even grunt at me. And yet Sunday night, he was right back down in the field in the middle of all the action. So there was like a massive turnaround in 24 hours. But Jeff, what do you think? Are you different coming home?
Well, I think what was different from the first time going, seeing all the healings and stuff, and we did see lots of healings as well. But I think the main thing that was standing out to me is the deliverances. We didn't have a lot of the deliverances in Sorority. We saw people being set free, but not in the same way. And I think what was really eye-opening and changing for me is that, you know, God has a plan for your life. But the reality is, so does the devil. Mm. And when you have the devil talk back to you, it puts in a new perspective for you. Mm. When you're praying for people, lots of people would just go down, you know, you pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill them. And you say, come out now in the name of Jesus, and they would manifest. Some people, when you say, come out now, another voice would come and say, no, I will not. And put that in whatever demonic voice you want, tone. But you would get that a lot. So then you'd have to pray for that person again to be overfilled with the Holy Spirit. And just continue that prayer and say, by all authority or in Jesus' name, we pray for you to leave now. And then they would manifest. Mm-hmm. And some people, that they would go through that process 3, 4, 5 times. And each of those times, you're casting out a different devil. Mm. So when you have the devil actually talk back to you, that changes your perspective a lot.
Hmm. What about you, Justin? What's changed in you?
I don't know. I had such a blast there. I would go back in a heartbeat. But I remember I got to work this week, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? Kind of like working at a computer all day. But I don't know. I think when Joel would preach... And just being in that atmosphere, it's like the gospel is so clear. And I'm like, I don't know. It's like I feel like I have to find a way to have that, you know, get around you more or something. I don't know. It's like that anointing on your life. because it's just like when the gospel's so clear, it just lights me up. Like, you can't shut me up. I'm like, I just want to talk about Jesus all the time. So I don't know, maybe this will kind of put me more in a different direction in my life. We'll see. I know Diane kind of prophesied over me before I left, and we'll see how that turns out.
Well, don't shut up, Justin. Keep doing it. Thanks, you guys. So great to have you. Who wants to come next year? All right. Well, over the last 3 weeks, we've been doing a summer series with you on the theme of My Life Message. And we're going to have different speakers, 8 different speakers over the course of the summer, share a message on a topic that is close to their heart, a real area of passion. And today is going to be my last Sunday with you for a few weeks as I'm taking some vacation time. But I want to share with you maybe my favorite passage of Scripture. It's the portion of Scripture that Lift Evangelistic Ministries is based on. And I'll tell you today, there's nothing that I'm more passionate about than sharing the hope that is found in these verses. David, who wrote the psalm, begins with these words in Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. Church, I think one of the greatest revelations that a person can come to is the realization that there is a God in heaven who sees them and hears them. There is a God who hears the cries of his people. And not only does he hear the cries, but he stops and he turns and he reaches for them to deliver them. In this scripture, David is describing a time in his life where he felt like he was stuck in a pit. But this pit he's describing isn't a dry pit. Its bottom is one of mud and mire, and there's no way to get a sure footing. He's stuck there. There's no way of escape. He's in a desperate place. He needs a way out. He needs someone to rescue him. And in this place of desperation, a cry comes for deliverance. I want you to notice that it says he waited patiently. That tells us two things. First, that his deliverance wasn't immediate. But it also tells us that he never lost his hope in the one who could save him. David never tells us what the pit was that he was in exactly. But I think it can represent many different things to many different people. I'm sure that many of you here this morning are facing situations in your life where you feel stuck. You're in a spot where you can't see a way out. You've tried, but every step that you take in your struggle only seems to sink you deeper. For some, these things are possibly in the realm of finances. For others, they're in areas of relationships. For some, it's the area of unfulfilled dreams and visions that God has given you. For some, it's a battle with physical health. Others, a battle with mental health. But whatever it is, you can feel the struggle and you can feel the desperation of David. You know what it's like to be in a place of feeling stuck and unstable and alone. And there's this cry that's going out from your heart. God, save me, help me, deliver me. But sometimes when the deliverance hasn't come as soon as you had hoped, the devil is right there and he's a liar and he comes to whisper in your ears. And he says to you, see, God has forgotten about you. God has abandoned you. God doesn't care about you. He doesn't see you. He doesn't hear you. And one time, when the Israelite nation had rejected God and got themselves into a horrible spot, and their nation was overrun by their enemies, and their children had been taken captive as slaves, and their capital city of Jerusalem is torn down, and the walls are in ruins, they reached these conclusions. in this place of brokenness. They felt all alone. They felt forgotten about. They felt stuck. And Isaiah describes the words that came from their mouth. They said in Isaiah 49, 14, "The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us." They had become despondent in their despair. But the Lord responds to their laments with this incredible word of promise. Verse 15, "Never! You have forgotten us, God." And his response is a shout, "Never! Never can a mother forget her nursing child," God says. "Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. And I've always loved the passion and the imagery in this verse. It seems as though the Lord is insulted by the thought that he had abandoned or forgotten his people. Never, he says. And he tells them, I've written your name on the palms of my hands. When you can't forget something, what do? You write it on the palm of your hands. And God says, I've got your name written there. He says to them, your situation is always on my mind. I see it. And then he begins to speak his promise of deliverance over them. Soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you. As surely as I live, says the Lord, they will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. Church, I don't care what your situation is right now. You need to hear the word of the Lord over the whispers of the enemy. You are not alone. You are not abandoned. You are not so stuck that you cannot be delivered. Call on the name of Jesus. He's a savior. He hears you. David said, he heard my cry and he turned to me and he lifted me out of the pit. The image is one of this rescuer coming, getting down on his knee and reaching a hand. And Isaiah would say later in chapter 59, verse 1, listen. Church, sometimes when I'm coaching or when I was teaching and there would be all this talking and murmuring before the game, I have to shout, listen to me. Listen to me. What I'm about to say is important. And here God says, Isaiah says, listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. Nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. The enemy is whispering all these things, panic, and you're alone and you're forgotten and God doesn't see. And in the midst of this noise, God is saying, listen to me. Listen to me. My ear is not too deaf. My arm is not too short that I can't save you. I feel like I'm shouting. Am I back in Africa again? Over and over in my life, I have found this to be true. As I've seen my God reach for me, as I've watched him reach down to rescue many others. You know, one of the most incredible privileges I have in preaching the gospel from a big stage is to look down on the sea of humanity and look down at those who are responding to the gospel and crying out to God for salvation and watching God deliver them. Jeff and Justin described the deliverance of those who are oppressed. It is so awesome. On the Saturday night, I was just sort of sitting on the back of the stage. I had sort of done my part and I'm just watching what is happening. Bodies everywhere on the right side. Bodies everywhere on the left side. A lineup of people to testify about what God is doing. Tears breaking out all over the place. And I'm just sitting there and I see Anatoly. He's on the side of the stage. He's just leaning. He's just watching. And I get into the car with him afterwards, and it's just the two of us driving back to the airport, or to the hotel, and we're weaving our way through the crowds, and there's this big stage and these big screens and banners and posters and over 10,000 people. And I just said to him, can you believe that God lets us do this? What a privilege that we could be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's such a scale. Sometimes I just stand in awe of what God is doing. You know, this time I had a really cool experience, and I'm going to end by sharing with you this story. It illustrates the truth of what I'm saying this morning. One night after I had finished preaching and praying for the sick, and as I always do, had turned the mic over to Pastor Alex. Pastor Alex pastors a great church in Uganda. He's a disciple of Peter Kasarivu, for those of you who know Peter. He's a good friend. He's one of our ministry partners. And the two of us have really learned how to flow together over the last 9 years and how to complement each other's giftings. As I mentioned, at every crusade meeting, we give people the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior, and then we pray for those who are sick in their bodies and oppressed by the devil. And usually at some point when we move into praying for deliverance, I turn the mic over to Alex. The nights are long and exhausting, and when I'm sort of running out of steam, Alex will be there on the stage behind me. He's just standing there waiting for the tag team, waiting for me to touch him and say, "You're up." And he's got such a grace on his life to minister in the area of deliverance. And oftentimes, just when I say we're going to pray for those of you who are oppressed by the enemy and hand him the mic, it just goes to another level. And so often I will just find a seat on the back of the stage and observe. In the old days, I used to go down and minister, but I can't do that anymore because I get just too overwhelmed with people. So I just watch and I pray and I wait for people to come up to give testimonies and sort of join in on that. And on the Saturday night, I had finished my part and I had handed the mic to Alex and I had taken a seat to rest at the back of the stage. And there was a woman who was interpreting for Alex. And as she was interpreting, I just felt like the Lord drew my attention towards her. And he just spoke this phrase into my spirit: that woman needs her own stage. It was just so strong inside of me. She's got an evangelistic anointing upon her life. She needs her own stage. And I knew right then that God's hand was on her to preach the gospel with power. And I just had such a desire. I just want to lay my hands on her and impart this evangelistic grace to her by the Spirit of God. But I felt like I couldn't in that moment because she was busy ministering with Alex, interpreting, and just didn't feel like the right place. Well, that night, I got no sleep at all. Like, I don't even think I got 5 minutes. There was another field just a few blocks away from our crusade grounds that also had a big stage set up. There was a huge concert. Some of the biggest musical acts from Kampala were booked. In fact, why they booked them on the same night as our crusade, I don't know. They tried to tell us that we needed to shut down or start early because of this concert. We said, sorry, we got the permits. We're not shutting down early. There was this fear that they were going to rob us from our crowds. I want to tell you that our crowds crushed their crowds. It didn't stop anything, believe me. We had over 10,000 show up that night. But this concert was not far from our hotel, like a couple blocks away, and it felt like they were right in my bathroom. That music thumped till 6 a.m. in the morning. They went all night, fireworks. I thought we were under attack at some point after midnight, then realized it was fireworks going off. No sleep. So we had been late at the crusade the night before, and then I was scheduled to preach at 7:30 a.m. in a local church. You guys complain about getting up for 9:15. So they came to get me at 7:30, and I just felt like I have nothing to give. I am just absolutely drained from the night before. I got zero sleep. If anything was going to happen that morning, it was surely going to be all God. How many of you know that's a great place to be in? And so I showed up at the church and began to preach. And as soon as I began to preach, the Spirit of God took over. I felt such grace. And I noticed that the woman who was interpreting on the stage the night before, who I felt stirred about, was there. And I discovered that she was actually on the pastoral staff in that church. I hadn't known it. I didn't know that before I came. And after preaching, I began to minister to the church and to the pastor. But I was drawn again to this woman who was on the side, and I just felt like I gotta go and lay my hands on her and begin to prophesy to her. And the Spirit of God was so thick in the room that day that when I laid my hands on her, before I hardly said anything, she just crashed to the ground under the power of God and began to shake and weep. And I began to prophesy God's call on her life to preach the gospel, and God began to show me other things as well. And one of the things he showed me was that she had this spirit. It was a stubborn spirit, not in a bad way, in a way that refused to quit. Like one of David's mighty men, I said to her, "You have stood in a place alone where everyone else has left, to hold on to the ground that God has given you, even if it's meant your hand has been clawed to the sword." I didn't know anything about her story. Now, before I left Regina, let me tell you that a single mom from this church had left a sealed envelope on my desk with these instructions on a sticky note. Came to work one day and it was there. And on the sticky note, it said, "You're going to meet a single mom while you are in Uganda, and I want you to give her this envelope." There was no indication of what was inside the envelope. I knew that it was a single mom in our church who had given it to me because one of the office staff told me when I said, "Who put this on my desk?" So I know who it is. But there was no indication of what was inside the envelope, other than it said on the front, "You're going to meet a single mom and you're to give this to her." In full disclosure, I was a bit annoyed because I thought, what am I supposed to do? Carry this envelope everywhere I go in Uganda? Are you a single mom? Are you a single mom? I don't meet a lot of people outside of the pastors, to be honest, because as I said, I literally go from the stage to the vehicle. Sometimes it's a bit of a sprint because so many people want me to touch them and those sorts of things. And I just get mobbed if I hang around. So when I arrived in Masindi, I took the envelope out of my bag. What am I going to do with this? And I set it in a drawer in my hotel room and I completely forgot about it. On Monday morning, as I was packing up my stuff to head out of Masindi to the airport in Kampala, doing my final sweep of the room to make sure I hadn't left anything, pulling out the drawers, I found the envelope. Oh, right, this envelope. What am I going to do about it? Do I bring it back? Do I throw it in the garbage? What's in this thing? I didn't meet no single mom. I thought, well, before I throw it out or bring it back, because probably going to ask me what I did with it, I'll either have to say I just threw it out because I didn't find a single mom, or I brought it back to you. I thought I should look inside. I'll just open it to see what's in it in case there's something important. And when I opened it, I found this beautiful card with a great handwritten note to a single mom speaking about God's love for her and her children with some powerful words of hope. And there were $300 Canadian on the inside. What was I going to do? Well, clearly I can't throw it out. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have breakfast with some of the local pastors before I leave this morning. I'll give it to the pastor whose church I preached in on Sunday and just say, I didn't tell him the stories. I didn't meet any single mom, but if there's one in your church that you know could be blessed with this, why don't you give it to her? At that breakfast, I noticed that the lady that I had prophesied over the day before was there, but I didn't think anything about it. Anatoly told me after that he was surprised she was there because just a few of the lead pastors had been invited. But perhaps the pastor of her church had asked her to come as well because she had had a lot of involvements with our crusade and organization and stuff. I didn't even know a lot of that. Anyways, at the breakfast, I opened the card and I showed it to the pastor and I told him how it had been given to me and all that. And I said to him, I've not met any single moms that I know of since I've been here. Do you have any moms in your church who you think this would be a blessing to? And he sort of looked at me and he said, you know the lady that you prophesied over is a single mom. I said, I had no idea. And he told me she's got quite a story. And suddenly I knew who the card was for. I said, grab her. Let's go outside. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I got something for you. And I told her the story. A single mom from my church gave this to me. Gave her the whole background of how I was stuck in my drawer and blah, blah, blah. I opened the card and I began to read to her the words verbally. And I handed her the $300 and she began to weep. I said, I got to get your picture. Will you let me take your picture? I said, I need to see your face. This week I asked her, I got her contacts, and I asked her if I could tell her story and if she could give me a little bit of her background. What happened? What's your story? Because I didn't know it. This is what she wrote me. She said I could. She said, I got married in 2007 and was with my husband for 5 years before he left me for a woman I thought was my friend. I was 2 months pregnant with our second child when he left, and I've never seen him again. Life has been a struggle caring for the children without any support from their father, but the Lord has been faithful. I committed myself more and determined to serve the Lord, and I've been to Bible school all my life. I have just wanted to serve Jesus. That disappointment has been the worst experience of my life. But the Lord is healing my wounds. When I received that prophetic word from you, I really saw Jesus right by my side saying I shouldn't worry about anything from that moment and that he's going to handle whatever concerns my life. I felt a deliverance, a freedom, and a peace like a fresh breeze fall on me, and I began to cry. But Pastor, those were tears of joy, not sorrow or regrets. I felt fire go through my legs so strongly and my spirit lifted to a realm. Lifted, did you hear that? Lifted to a realm where I heard a voice speak to my spirit as you prayed and prophesied. Secondly, this card proved to me that God will really do what I heard him say to me because, believe me, evangelist, that day I didn't have any food in the house to feed my family, and I was just believing God for a provision so my girls could have a meal. When I got the money, I removed the tithe, sowed a seed, and went shopping for some food. Please help me appreciate the mama who sent me the card. It really came in the time of injury while I was stuck, and nobody knew what was going on in my house. Did you hear those words? I felt my spirit lifted. While I was stuck and nobody knew, but God knew. Because he hears the cries of his people. He's not too deaf that he can't hear you. She was always on his mind. Her name was written on his palm. He heard her cry and he reached for her. What a joy it is when God allows us to be his hands that reach. What a privilege. Joyce, if you're listening today, I told her you got to turn in. I'm going to tell your story. I love you. Can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you something. He's reaching for you. If you're covered in the mud of your sin, the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the greatest act of mercy and love ever shown, because God had left his throne in heaven to reach for each and every one of us. On that cross, the Bible says he took all the sins of the world upon himself, all our mud and mire. And he took it upon himself and was punished in our place, experienced the judgment in our place, and in exchange offered his own righteousness free of charge. He wants us to be free, to be clean. The Bible says if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you. It's like he gets his hose out and he washes all the mud and the mire off. He sets your feet on a firm path. He transforms you. I want to give you the opportunity this morning to receive that salvation. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you will be saved, this scripture says. If there's never been a moment in your life where you have humbled yourself and said, Jesus, I need a Savior, save me, called on the name of Jesus, then let's do it right now. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. We had a word this morning that said some were right on the threshold, that God's been knocking on your door. Right now is that moment. Open the door to the Savior. Let him in. Let him reach. Don't turn that hand aside when it's reaching for you. Grab a hold of the lifeline. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, church? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm going to ask this question. Is there anybody in the room that would say, Pastor, I need you to pray that prayer of salvation for me. I need Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right where you're standing? I'm not going to call you forward or anything. I see some hands raised different places in the room. Anybody else need Jesus this morning? We're going to pray in just a minute. Hands are popping up all over this room. Let's all lift our hands to Jesus together, and as we join with these ones who need a Savior, let's remember how great of a Savior we have. As I pray this prayer, those who've raised their hands, you just acknowledge to God, this is my prayer. I'm crying out to you. Jesus, I come to you today knowing I need you, knowing without you I'm lost, knowing without you I'm stuck in this pit today and for eternity. But I thank you, my God, that you love me so much that you came and you died and you reached for me to deliver me, to rescue me from the chains of my past, from the chains of the enemy, from the chains of my sin. Today I reach out at your hand and I receive your salvation and your mercy and your grace. I confess my need of you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, put your spirit inside of me. Make me your son and your daughter. Today I choose to follow you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If you prayed today for the first time, don't leave today without stopping by our Connect window. We have a little Bible and a Now What book that we want to give you, help you as you begin this journey with Christ. But for the rest of you this morning, the altars are open. We don't have to stack any chairs. The presence of God is here. The Spirit of God is here to deliver, to save, to restore, to heal. I want to pray for those of you who are sick in your bodies. I want to pray for those of you who just feel like you're in a place in your life that you're stuck, where you feel just like you're under the oppression of the enemy. Maybe you're just thirsty. You're just dry on the inside and you're saying, God, I need a fresh touch. I just need the living water this morning. Then why don't you come at the invitation? And as we pray, as we lay hands on you, we're going to believe that God is going to minister to you in a powerful way. Why don't you come? Come in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Let the Lord minister to you. The Lord minister to you. Let the Lord minister to you. Some have just been in such a hopeless place. I just feel so strongly that there are many of you that came this morning just in a hopeless place. God, do you hear my cry? This morning, God just wants to infuse you with hope. Some of you, I feel like you're almost going to feel the arms of God wrap around you. Come on, church, let's minister to those that are here. If you're a leader in the house, come and just begin to lay hands on those that are here. Life group leaders and pastoral team and elders and deacons and life group leaders. Kira mama mahashoko hurra baba baba hasoko hotande di 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 di. As you respond in here at the front, just in your own heart, cry out to Jesus. He hears your cry. He hears the cry of his people. He hears the cry of his people. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a rescuer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come right now in such a sovereign way. Pray that you would just touch the hearts of the people. Everyone has a different need. Everyone has a different issue. But God, you are the one who sees all. You know all. Holy Spirit, would you just come to heal those that are sick in their bodies. In Jesus' name, be healed. Heal those that are under the oppression of the enemy. Would you break the chains off of them this morning in Jesus' name? Would you restore hope to the hopeless, strength to the weary, comfort to the brokenhearted, peace to those who are at worried. In Jesus' name. Just going to minister to people free to go, free to come. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what He's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.